This is the Angry Birds Bird Minute, sponsored by Angry Birds for their 15th anniversary, where we tell you all about a cool bird that may or may not be angry. This week's bird is the Dracula parrot. With its distinctive black and red feathers, you might expect to find this large parrot in a Transylvanian castle, but it's found exclusively in the hills and mountain slopes of New Guinea. Another reason for their spooktacular common name is their vulture-like appearance. Much of their head lacks feathers, giving them an eerie look that you wouldn't associate with most parrots. But are they angry? With a name like Dracula Parrot, you might expect these birds to be a scary vampiric monster, but you won't find Dracula parrots drinking blood. These birds feed almost exclusively on figs, and their lack of feathers is simply to ensure that all that sticky fig juice doesn't make a mess of their plumage. On a scale of 1 to angry, we rate the Dracula parrot as misunderstood.
This is Wild Green Streams. I'm Rhett.
I'm Curtis.
I'm Io.
And today for our April Fool's Day special, we're going to play Two Truths and a Lie, where each of us have brought two different articles that we think are either funny or interesting or unbelievable. And we made up a third one. And, you know, the other two corresponding people are going to have to determine which ones are real and which ones are fake. But first, we have a good news update.
Hello, fellow ecological enthusiasts. I'm thrilled to share some exciting news with you all. Recently, I had the incredible opportunity to speak on Colorado 9 News about a topic very close to my heart, Puerto Rico and the coqui. As some of you may know, the coqui is not just a tiny amphibian. It's a symbol of Puerto Rican culture and biodiversity. I had the honor of showcasing my work, a painting depicting the ancient legend of the goddess and the coqui. The story highlights the deep connection between the people of Puerto Rico and the natural world, emphasizing the importance of preserving habitats for a creature like the coqui. Being featured on 9 News was an amazing experience, spreading awareness about Puerto Rico's rich culture and the importance of preserving its ecological system was incredibly rewarding. Let's continue to spread this message of environmental stewardship and celebrating beauty of our natural world. Thank you for listening. Stay green.
I will always stay green, especially when frogs are involved, even if the frog itself is not green.
I loved cookies.
That'd be our new tagline, stay green.
Stay green. That's a great sign off.
Keep it wild, keep it green.
Keep it meme.
I've merchandised that before. Stay green is a great sign off. But yeah. I'm looking up coquis right now because I'm not super familiar with them.
Oh, I know the coquis.
I might have seen them in the Caribbean at one point, but I don't quite know the range. But that is amazing. And it's cool tying in mythology and biodiversity and culture. And I mean, no animal exists in a vacuum. So I like the cool human elements of this as well.
It's always really great to share all of those things. This is going to sound kind of diminishing, but my trash pickup company is actually called Coqui because the guy who started it is Puerto Rican. And that is why we actually picked that one over the others, is because it's got a frog on the trash cans.
That's some good marketing, man.
It worked on us anyway.
Taking a herpetology class, learning about the coqui because they're such a ubiquitous frog in Puerto Rico, and also they have in some places like in Hawaii and in like Florida, they've become an introduced, maybe invasive species. I think I haven't checked up on the literature, but they have such a distinct call. Their call sounds like coqui, so like that's how they got their name. And I love frogs. That's so cool that this frog has such passion behind it, and it's got such history, and it's got such close cultural ties. I love when animals are so entwined with cultures and like such symbols of pride. I'm like, yeah.
I was in Hawaii for work a few years ago, and I was going to sleep at night on the big island, and I heard coquis going off. It was the first time and only time that I've heard them. I was like, yeah. I don't even care that this isn't supposed to be here. That is so cool. I'm really glad I finally got to hear them.
There you go.
I have spring peepers here. They're like my coqui. Let me see if they're related.
They're the same vibe.
Yeah, they at least share the vibe.
Taxonomy, who knows? But vibes, spot on.
Yeah, spring peepers are really, I imagine, filling a similar niche. Little tree-dwelling, not
little peepers.
Tree frogs making all kinds of racket at night and breeding in the pools. It's great in the spring to just hear those outside the window and be like, oh, there's nature everywhere.
Who wants to go first for the two truths and a lie?
Who wants to get pranked?
Get duped.
I'll go first.
Go for it.
So yeah, again, we have three headlines of some sort of nature article news, and two of these are true, but unbelievably so, and one of these completely made up. Here are mine. Playground closed after endangered turtle nests in sandbox. Australian punk beetle almost mistaken for bird poo, and curious bears take a ride on swan boat.
Okay, I fully believe the swan boat. I just have no question that that one's true.
I want to believe that the turtle one is true because I have seen turtles try to nest in inopportune places. But I don't know if an endangered turtle would think a sandbox is a good place.
I don't know. They love sand, though. They really like to
Yeah.
nest in sand.
Maybe if the like playground was next to the lake or something.
Yeah, I'm working on a, it's not endangered, but it's a rare turtle that we're studying here in Florida. And today I went to check out some new habitat and immediately was disappointed. I knew the habitat was no good for nesting. And you know how I knew?
Because there was no sand.
There was no sand.
Wow. Anakin Skywalker, diametrically opposed to nesting turtles.
One more thing he's wrong about. The man hates turtles.
Paul Atreides just like, this sucks.
Okay, what do you think it is, Aya?
Wait, so it was turtles, beetle mistaken for bird poop, and then the bears in the swan boat. Is that correct? Your three?
Do you want me to read the headlines one more time?
Let's do it.
Yeah, go for it.
Playground closed after endangered turtle nests in sandbox. Australian punk beetle almost mistaken for bird poo. And curious bears take a ride on swan boat.
And also, I've seen beetles that look like poop before, so I'm gonna say
You are the world's biggest bug fan.
number one bug fan. I finally got my patches in the mail, so it's official. So I'm gonna say the turtle one is the lie.
Yeah, that's my guess too.
Yeah, I made that one up. They're calling it a punk beetle because it's got like this punk haircut style of these crazy, I'll share it in the chat, of these like crazy bristles hair, whatever you say.
Whoa.
It looks like a
Yeah, so
fungus is eating it to me.
it looks like a living
Or it also kind of
cordyceps
looks
victim.
like a jumping spider, because some jump
Oh, it kind of does look like a
with
jumping
its
spider.
long antennas look like another set of legs.
I just love calling it a punk beetle. It's perfect. And it also punks people by pretending to be poop.
It really looks like anything but a beetle.
Yeah. So yeah, the scientists at first glance, they were like, oh, what is that? Possibly bird dropping, and then got a closer look, and it was a new beetle species found in Australia. So that one's true. The other one is a safari park in England that had some North American black bears, and as an enrichment, they got one of those swan pedal boats. And yeah, the bears just all got into the swan boat and had the time of their lives while eating honey and other bear enrichment foods. And why wouldn't they?
It's incredible.
It really is. And I'm so glad none of you noticed the influx of memes about it because I thought that would be a dead giveaway.
Did they figure out how to make the boat go? Like, could they paddle it?
They're not paddling it, I don't think, but some of the headlines called it a joyride. I also have just a good. I was,
You know what my favorite part of the article about the beetle is? I scrolled down and they have a stock photo of bird poop for reference.
yeah, like as if you don't know what that is.
Yeah.
In case you live in one of those places on Earth that doesn't have bird droppings, like, I don't
Yeah.
know, the Marianas Trench.
Yeah, right.
Snailfish are listening in right now on Spotify being like, I don't know what bird poop looks like.
What the hell's a bird? Yeah, the image I shared was just some little sculpture of teddy bears in a swan paddle boat.
Amazing.
Life imitates art.
It's true.
So, Io, what you got?
All right, prepare to be pranked. So, our first headline is naked mole rats need carbon dioxide to avoid seizures, and here's why. The second one is thousands of ants trapped in Polish nuclear bunker turn to cannibalism to survive. Or, continuing the ant theme, a colony of ants has overthrown their queen and instituted democratic decision making.
Okay, what was the first one again?
The first one was naked mole rats need carbon dioxide to avoid seizures, and here's why.
That seems so weird. It has to be true,
It's
you
the and
know?
here's why that makes me believe it.
Or Io just knows how to write an enticing sentence.
I mean,
Maybe.
I've been making memes for the past several years. I got some training.
I would click that article.
IO knows how to write clickbait.
Ants turn to cannibalism. I feel like that's pretty normal, par for the course behavior for ants. They kind of do stuff like that a lot.
And what was the other one? The ants.
A colony of ants has overthrown their queen and instituted democratic decision making.
Is the queen the only breeding adult in all colonies? Because that seems like a quick way to destroy. If you don't want ants, that's what you do.
Some colonies have multiple queens in certain species and groups, but the queen is by definition the one that's reproducing.
Yeah,
I'm gonna say that's the fake one.
I think so too.
That is the fake one. Ants sometimes will overthrow their queens if they are not like producing young or whatever, but they'll just, depending on this, can vary on the species, they'll just,
you know,
but they're not going to then just a new queen will rise up and take over. So ants big in on the monarchy. But ants trapped in a Polish nuclear bunker turned to cannibalism to survive is true, which there has been memes circulated about it. But this bunker was from the Cold War, and there were ants, like, at the surface level, colony of ants. But then there was a pipe that went down into the bunker, and sometimes the ants would fall into the pipe by accident,
no,
all the way down, and there was no way for them to get out, and they just were down there. And when the researchers found it, they said several hundred thousand ants, close to a million, that had been in there for several years, but they had no queen, no food, and there was nothing for them to eat because there was like no like bat poop or whatever left over.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way that the population was being increased was by more ants falling, but yet the only food they had was their other ants. And so they found like piles of millions of dead ant corpses that they had like stacked.
Imagine they vote on you being the next ant to be cannibalized, and then like a cricket falls in that day. That would be like a religious moment for that ant.
Yeah. They would be like, I believe in the cricket god.
I've been chosen to live by the cricket god.
What's up with these mole rats?
The naked mole rats. So they are crazy in a lot of ways. They're the only eusocial mammals, which eusocial is a term used for usually insects. That's like true social insects. So lots of bees, all ants, like lots of wasps and stuff, that you need reproductive division of labor, overlapping generations, and cooperative brood care to qualify as eusocial. You need those three things. And so naked mole rats like have a queen like ants do.
So with eusocial things, the end result of those components is that the colony winds up acting more like a single individual than like all of these separate individuals, to the point that, like I was saying, most of them don't reproduce, and they all
right.
will work towards the common survival of the colony, almost like the cells in your body instead of separate individuals.
Right. They act kind of like a superorganism is what people talk about, which I couldn't understand for a long time. But then someone was like, well, if you think about it, like not every single cell in your body is the cell that like reproduces. Like your hair cell is not passing directly its DNA on. And so that's kind of like these social animals.
And tons of them will just die all the time of your cells, just very similar to how bees will die to sting an intruder in the colony. That doesn't help that individual bee, but it does help the colony as a whole.
And they're like really adaptive, and they live in tunnels, and they're really adapted to live in low oxygen environments. But they found that they need high levels of carbon dioxide to function, they think, to avoid seizures, which is crazy because usually carbon dioxide is not good for you, famously. They don't have much control over their body temperature because they're naked, they're hairless. And so they have found that sometimes when they will go and like breathe in really hot air, they'll have seizures, which is a thing that sometimes human children can have. Like after kids have fever, sometimes they can have seizures. So they think that there's like a genetic switch in their brain that says like, don't have a seizure. And it's not evolutionary necessary for them to like have that switch because it takes energy. So they just don't have that switch. And instead, the way that they suppress seizures in themselves is high levels of carbon dioxide.
Whoa.
Crazy. Like, they're already crazy. And I read this and I was like, this is insane. Like, okay, I get at being adapted for low oxygen, because lots of animals mm-hmm. are adapted for low oxygen if you like live at the bottom of the ocean. But like requiring CO2 to not have a seizure, crazy. Yeah.
There's a point a lot of the time with certain really specialized organisms where it's like you can't go back, and they start needing things that are just side effects of how they live, like like the CO2 in the tunnels. They wound up, that was just such a present thing for them for so long that now they have to have it. It's just bizarre to think about.
There's literally a quote in this article that says they prefer CO2 levels that would panic a person but are troubled by fresh air. They've leveraged a liability to literally dig themselves a niche.
That's beautiful.
An interesting you can't go back that I learned recently is there have been like so many instances of like, so all vertebrates started as fish and then some evolved on land to become reptiles and mammals. And some of those then in turn returned to the ocean as sea turtles and whales and such. But there's been no instance of one of those animals then evolving to become a land animal again. So that's a, like this weird. Can you go back from that after
Interesting.
making that change? Or, I don't know, give it another 100 million years. Will we have land whales 2.0?
I kind of wonder if what's going on there is that it's a lot harder to evolve limbs in the first place than it is to evolve fins from your land limbs. Like you can turn your hands back into flippers easily, but it's probably a lot harder once you've gone back to that to go the other way again. It's like I can't imagine many snakes going back to being, lizard forms very, very easily either.
I think
That's a
really
really
what
good
it
point.
is they've optimized themselves. They were in the water, they went on land, and they're like, this sucks. I'm going back. And so it's kind of like they've like, this is peak performance. You may not like it, but this is what peak performance looks like. And it's being in the water and it's having no legs. And they just know secrets we don't.
You know, something that blew my mind the other day too. I always thought that whales are like fish that wish that like they wish they could have gills like fish. That's what I always thought. Always thought that whales are just stuck with lungs, but if they had the choice, they should choose gills. And then I read somewhere that the oxygen levels in water are so much lower than the oxygen levels in air that whales actually have an advantage because they have lungs. Like they're actually better off breathing air and holding their breath than they would be just straight up indefinitely breathing underwater.
In terms of just the oxygen content.
Right.
Yeah, like some of the beaked whales, the ones that can hold their breath for several hours. I mean, actually, I think all whales do this where they are just like storing excess oxygen throughout their blood in ways that a terrestrial animal could never even dream of.
Yeah, I remember learning that there's so much less oxygen in water, and it is such a more intensive process to try to get that oxygen out of the water that I read a statistic, which is like probably a very generalization, but it was like it takes like 20% of their energy just to get the oxygen out of the water for fish.
Wow.
And so like they have to spend so much energy on that, which is why a lot of them aren't warm-blooded, quote unquote, is because like they don't have the energy to like maintain a central body temperature and also get all their oxygen out of the water at the same time, which there's variations because fish can be, warm-blooded and stuff, but I thought that was really interesting.
That is really interesting. Like, I never would have thought on my own that there was any advantage to having lungs when you live in the water.
Yeah.
Are y'all ready for mine?
Yeah.
I am.
So I kind of went all in on this. I actually wrote a little blurb for each of the articles instead of just
Rhett
getting the titles.
misunderstood the assignment to his own benefit.
So I have three little wait, wait, don't tell me style paragraphs to read to y'all, and then you can choose which one you think is real.
I'm
Okay.
ready.
Scientists create a chicken that lays duck eggs. Researchers at the Rosalind Institute, the same group that created Dolly the sheep, have engineered a chicken that lays duck eggs. Due to the biology of avian egg production, our feathered friends can't be cloned by the same methods used on mammals. Instead, researchers are able to use the primordial germ lines to induce a hen to lay, not clones, but entirely new individuals of the target species. According to Deadline, the scientists have already used the technique to create a chicken fathered by a duck and a ubara, a large bustard, fathered by a cockerel. It is hoped that this technology will increase the capacity of captive breeding programs to produce endangered species and even open the possibility of bringing back some extinct birds for whom we still have DNA. They called us quacks, researchers crowed when asked about their accomplishment, but they were
Called
just too
us
chicken to try
quacks,
it.
researchers
They laughed
crowed.
at us, but who's amused now?
That was really
You
good.
had me until the last line, which
Yeah.
seems too intentionally meme-y, unless that was part of their press release. But
We'll see. We'll
we'll
see what
discuss
the
any.
other.
If it doesn't have a person's name attached to it, I may have come up with that quote. Giant Pacific octopi are scientifically determined to be Swifties. Keepers at the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium are reporting the results of a recent experiment to determine whether octopi have a preference between different genres of music. You can call it what you want, attending keepers said, but what our octopus really liked best was Taylor Swift. They additionally found that while their resident giant Pacific octopus generally seemed enchanted by many forms of music, it did vary which eras that music was from. For example, cephalopods changed to a pattern of quote unquote crazier behavior when tunes from before 1989 were played, and seemed in particular to have bad blood with Queen, and would just stare into a blank space when Led Zeppelin was played. Give them Coldplay or Olivia Rodrigo, said the keepers, and she'll exhibit relaxed behaviors, but won't stage a protest when the music stops. We played her midnights, and she wouldn't let us turn it off. When we eventually did, she threw a rock and broke our Bluetooth speaker in half, plunging it into the water. We are never, ever, ever getting that thing back together.
I
That was the second
love
one.
the production quality on all of these.
I went hard.
You did.
I know there were studies about like if metal music would attract sharks or orcas. I don't remember the extent of those studies, so this doesn't seem impossible to me.
Okay. And then number three, we'll see what you think after you hear this one. The 52 Hz whale has a friend. In the late 80s, a strange sound began to show up on US Navy hydrophones. At first thought to be Soviet submarines, it was later determined to be a likely blue whale singing at 52 hertz, a much different frequency than the species would normally communicate at. Leslie Jamison writes that for a blue whale, which is what this one seemed to be, a frequency of 52 hertz was basically off the charts. Blue whales usually come in somewhere between 15 and 20 on the periphery of what a human ear can hear, an almost imperceptible rumble. But here it was, right in front of them, the audio signature of a creature moving through the Pacific waters with a singularly high-pitched song. As a result, it was assumed by some that this individual may not be able to effectively communicate with other blue whales. Maybe a hybrid, maybe an individual with a lost dialect. It became famous as the Lonely Whale. But maybe it isn't so unique after all. In 2010, widely spaced hydrophones in the Eastern Pacific detected what sounded like the 52 Hz signal, indicating it may be coming from multiple sources. Either way, Christopher Wills Clark of Cornell suggests that the 52 Hz whale may not be so isolated, even from individuals that don't sing in its range. The animal's singing with a lot of the same features of a typical blue whale song, he says. Blue whales, fin whales, and humpback whales. All these whales can hear this guy. They're not deaf. He's just odd.
So we've got chicken and duck cloning.
A turducken, if you will.
I was thinking of the turducken thing too. And then the middle one was octopus and Taylor Swift. And then the last one was the 52 Hz whale. I think the 52 Hz whale one is true.
Me too.
I feel like I might remember something
Yeah,
where
same.
it was like not so lonely after all. I don't remember anything other than that. But it was basically like this sad story is not as sad as you think it is. And I was like, oh, thank goodness.
There was a whole documentary called The Loneliest Whale. I never got around to seeing it.
If we had seen it, we would have known the answer right away to this. So we didn't do our homework, I guess. What do you think, Curtis?
I think the egg one is not true. I feel like I would have
Really?
heard that, but Swifty octopuses somehow feels less impossible than having a bird lay the wrong egg. I really want it to be true because if they can clone like a passenger pigeon in my lifetime with that kind of research, I'll be thrilled. Like, give me passenger pigeons, Carolina parakeets, dodos if we have enough DNA. I mean, we're having a hard enough time with like a thylacine or a mammoth, but like the idea that we could clone a bird is so thrilling. Even though this wasn't a clone, I feel like it opens that door.
You're gonna be
I
really
want to
sad if I made that up.
I want to
What if in a
believe.
minute you find out that I made that up?
He's gonna go cry. And at
I'm gonna go
52
egg your
hertz.
house.
With a duck or a chicken egg.
¿Por qué no los dos? Two in one.
I wanna say, well, my thought was that Swifty Octopus sounds possibly true, but like elevated to a new level. Like, did an octopus throw a rock at a Bluetooth speaker hard enough to break it? I don't know.
Yeah, that one's also so absurd.
But you can do like cloning, but I never thought about because birds are different than mammals. And it's only just occurred to me now that like most of the cloning or like any cloning or like, you know, one species carrying the baby of another species, if it's like, you know, endangered, whatever, I've only ever heard of that. In mammals, I haven't heard of it in birds because they're like chromosomes and stuff are all different. So I'm like, maybe I just assumed that we could do it with birds, but we can't. But I'm gonna say I think that the Swifty octopus is fake.
I'm going with fake birds.
So one of us will maybe be right. Who knows?
Ooh, I didn't expect there to be a divide on this. Do y'all want the answer?
Yes.
I made up the Taylor Swift octopus. They
That
really
was
can't
so
get
good,
chickens when they
though.
duck eggs.
I'm so relieved because I bring on the bird clones.
Yeah, so that's a really crazy thing. So they've actually been able to do this. That article is from like 2013, and they think that they can maybe bring back, like, for example, passenger
Was the
pigeons with
quote
it.
real?
No, I made up the quote.
It was a good quote, though.
Thank you. So they can't clone birds because of, so with mammals, when they clone a mammal, they fertilize an egg cell. And then they replace the nucleus with one from the individual that they want to clone. You can't do that with birds because of the way their like egg development process works. It's just something about making those big old eggs makes it so that it doesn't, that same process is just not practical. But they can take like germline cells from one bird species and put it into another bird species and get that bird to lay eggs of the other species. So they think that they can maybe create like cultures of cells from extinct birds, even definitely from endangered ones that are still alive, and put those into living birds like a chicken, and then out pops a passenger pigeon or, you know, a Carolina parakeet or something like that.
That's so interesting. I wonder, because I'm thinking like the further removed the bird species are from each other, the more difficult, like if like you couldn't, like having a chicken
Could you
try
have
to
a
lay a hummingbird egg, probably not going to work because hummingbird eggs are tiny. Or like you can't have a chicken lay a kiwi egg because kiwi eggs are huge.
Yeah,
So
it's like
I would imagine
it's
there's
definitely they're
some
definitely a size.
compatibility kind of thing there in terms of not
I'm
just the
looking.
size, but in like, I don't know, the behavior of incubation. I just have so many questions now. I'm gonna go
So the
look up
passenger
research articles.
pigeon genus is completely extinct, but there's a ton of members within the family.
Passenger pigeon is what they call it when a rock dove walks onto the subway in New York and takes a train by accident.
Technical term.
I just, that's not true. I made that up,
I
but
know.
okay.
The grain of truth for the octopus one is that that zoo, the Pittsburgh Zoo and Aquarium, has an octopus whose name is Taylor Swift.
So Swifty, not by choice.
No, yeah, so the aquarium staff are Swifties, is what that means.
Some people are born Swifties, some people become Swifties, and some have Swiftiness thrust upon them.
I wonder if an octopus did like music, if like some of the brains would like it and like some of the brains and some of the other arms wouldn't. And then they would like argue with each other or like change the channel back and forth.
Decentralized Spotify
When they get their Spotify
Spotify
Wrapped, they're like, oh my gosh.
Spotify Wrapped, arm number 7 was really into death metal, and arm number 8 was really into hyperpop.
This needs to be in next Spotify Wrapped season in November. This is the meme that's going to happen. We
You
got a
ate
whole
3,000 clams, 200 crabs, 3 lobsters, and 1 smaller octopus.
Perfect.
Well, now I think it's time, guys, to Spotify Wrapped things up. Yes, I did just steal that joke
Rhett
from you,
just stole
Curtis.
my line.
And you're going to edit all of this out, aren't
I am.
you?
No, no
No
one's going
one's
to
going
hear
to
him say
know.
it. This is next level meme theft. Live, caught live on camera meme
Note to
theft.
the
We have
editor,
surveillance
leave in the
footage.
evidence of Rhett's thievery.
Meme shoplifting in real time.
Meme lifting.
You can support the show on patreon.com/wildgreenmemes. That's memes with an M. We send you cool stuff in the mail, and it also helps keep the lights on around here. Until next time, I'm Rhett.
I'm Curtis.
I'm Io.
And happy Year of the Raccoon.
That's a good way to wrap things up.
I think so
Yeah.
too.
Spotify wrap things up.
Hey.
Hey.